We turn our attention now to a much shorter capital than yesterday, to capital Yud Tes. I do apologize if yesterday was a bit longer than some of the other shiurim, and also I spoke a bit more hastily, but I wanted to cover, at least touch upon, every part of the 51 psukim. Today's capital Yud Tes is much shorter and also much more familiar to most of us because it is part of Psukei Dezimra. It is part of the special songs of praise that we recite in shul every Shabbos. And it is only 15 psukim. But it contains some very, very powerful messages. It is, in a sense, a source for the Rambam's famous statement that there are two ways for a person to apprehend God, to come to love God, and one is by reflecting upon nature, and the other is by studying Torah. There is a parallel and many, many points of correspondence between God's handiwork in nature, a topic which we've already seen, for example, in Kapitel Ches, in chapter 8, but also in Torah, which we have not seen too much about, except in Kapitel Aleph. Most of the other Kapitel, from Beis through Yud Ches, have had mainly the theme of David in trouble, either physical illness or more often enemies of one kind or another. In this particular capital coming up in Yud Tes, there are no enemies, there is no trouble, but rather there is a recognition of a way to God, of two ways to God, approaches to God, and they are by observing the heavens and God's miraculous creation, and by the power, the tremendous power, the range of powers of Torah study. David HaMelech begins, the Pasuk begins, Lam Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid. Again, this is a Mizmor, a song, with instructions to the conductor. HaShomayim Misaprim Kvod El Umaaseh Yodov Magid Horokia. The heavens declare, or the heavens state, or tell, of the glory of God, Umaaseh Yodov Magid Horokia, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. What does it mean, the heavens tell? Radak stresses that it doesn't mean that the heavens speak, the sky talks, but rather by observing the heavens, by observing the sky, one can hear, quote, hear their message. As Radak says, Lo shehem misaprim bedvorim. It is not that the heaven becomes suddenly able to express itself verbally. Elo mimashe roe odom bohem misaprim bnei odom kvod el. That because of the way a person observes heaven, he tells of kvod el, or the heavenly activities, although they're not words, they are modes of communication, and they communicate the powers of God. And this is the meaning of the pasuk, Ein Omer V'Ein Devorim, B'li Nishma Kolom. This is already pasuk Gedalid. There are no words, no verbal words, but nevertheless, there are lessons to be learned. Radak points to the Rambam. He refers to him as Horav, Morei Tzedek, Hechachom, Hagadol, Rabbeinu Moshe, who says that, no, the heavens do talk. As Radak says, Ki da'ato v'da'as ha-filosofim, ki ha-galgalim chayim, maskilim. That the Rambam's opinion and the opinion of the philosophers, meaning the Greek philosophers, is that the planets do talk, that they are living creatures, that they are intelligent creatures. But the simple meaning is, the heavens testify, observing the heavens is a testimony to God's glory, not through words, but through reflection upon their glory. Yom liyom yabia omer. The word yabia means to speak, to express, so that it means day to day talks and night to night speaks out. V'layla l'layla yechaveh do'as. Meaning that the fact that there is a day today tells me there's going to be a day tomorrow. The fact that there is a night tonight tells me there's going to be a night tomorrow. Radak again. Hayom hazeh yidaber ba'avur hayom habo acharov, ha'layla ba'avur ha'layla shebo acharov. That by the fact that there's a consistency and a constancy, day, night, day, night, day, night, Kainhu, v'chein yihiyela olam, that's the way it is, that's the way it will always be. So that today predicts another day tomorrow, yom liyom yabia omer, and night predicts another night tomorrow night, laila alaila yechaveh do'as. Ein omer v'yein devorim, b'li nishmo kolom. That although, in the words of Radak, there is no speaking, there are no verbal expressions, nevertheless, it does not go unheard. The sound, the message is heard. Bechol ha'oretz yotzo kavom. Their voice carries throughout the earth. Uviktzei sevel milehem. And their words go to the end of the world. La shemesh som ohel bohem. He placed in them a tent for the sun. The sun abides in the heavens. Radak feels that kav means binyonom, their structures, their constructs, like the word kav lakov, that a construct or a building is called a kav, a line, because architects need lines, drop lines. They need lines in order to stretch and measure and delineate the contours of a building. So the world, the universe, is full of this glory. So much so that when the sun comes out, it is to be compared to a groom coming out of his chuppah, out of his bridal canopy. The sun is compared to a bridegroom, to a happy warrior about to run out on the road to battle. Again, Radak beautifully says that when a chassan comes out of his chuppah, hakol semeichim lenegdo, everyone greets him with song and dance. So too, when the sun comes out, hakol semeichim lioro, everyone rejoices in the light of the sun. Radak defers again to his father, who says that the metaphor of a bridegroom is not only the metaphor of joy, rejoicing in the rising sun, but rather the sun yearns to return to its beginning. The sun leaves the east and goes to the west, but seems to be striving to get back to the beginning. It's like a groom hoping and struggling to get back to his bride. And therefore, the sun is compared to a chassan, striving and heading always back to his objective, toward a relationship with his wife. The sun is also compared to a gibor, to a strong man, to a hero, because the hero rejoices as he goes out to war. Although we tend to think perhaps of warriors of being afraid. But the image in Tanakh is the warrior enjoys battle. He can't wait to get into battle. The pasuk in Iyov, Kapitel Lametes, V'yosis b'choach yetzei l'kras noshek, that he goes out with joy towards a clash of weapons. Mikzeh hashamayim motzo'o usekufoso al kitzosom ve'ein nistor. That the rising place of the sun is in the eastern extremes of the world, but it goes in a circle to the other end. Nothing escapes the heat or the warmth of the sun. And Radak points out, it says, no one can hide from the heat of the sun. Not no one can hide from the light of the sun. Because Yuchal ha'adam lihisaser mima'oro. A person can hide from the light of the sun. He can go into a dark room. V'lo mechumo, but he cannot hide from its heat. Ki afilu b'chadrei chadorim yasigenu chumo. No matter where he goes, even in the innermost chambers, the heat of the sun will be there. Obviously, Radak knew nothing about air conditioning. But suddenly now, in Pasuk Ches, we have an abrupt switch. Until now, we're talking about nature, especially the heavens, and especially the sun. Now we move toward Torah. And we have in the next several psukim, famous psukim, which glorify the Torah and its study and its role in ennobling and curing and uplifting and giving meaning to the life of the human being. Toras Hashem Temimo Mishivas Nofesh. The Torah of God is complete. It's missing nothing. It's got everything. Edus Hashem Ne'emono Machkimas Pesi. The testimony of God, again, the Torah, is absolutely true, and it has the power of bringing wisdom even to the fool. What is the meaning of this transition from a discussion of the sun and the heavens to a discussion of Torah? So Radak suggests several approaches. Number one, just as the heavens and the sun testify, amesaprim, on the kavod ho'el, about God's glory, so too the Torah testifies to God's glory, to God's wisdom. As the pasuk says, asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim kechol ha'Torah hazos, who is like God, who has given us such a wonderful set of laws and statutes. Or we can say that just as the sun and the heavens are of benefit to man, so too the Torah is of benefit to man. The Torah is mishivas hanefesh; it directs or guides the soul because it steers him away from unhealthy lusts, from traps of all kinds. The Torah is very practical. It is very pragmatic. It's not just an ideal, but it's something that's actually helpful to man. Radak defines what the word Torah means, and he says Torah means teaching. Mishlei, v'lo shomati l'kol moroi. Pashas kisisa, shmos, ulahoros nosan belibo. It's teaching about the nature of something. And even Bereshis, in the story of Bereshis, Radak insists, also teach us a great deal. They teach us about God and his ways, and about the way his hashkocha, his providence, connects to humanity. Pikudei Hashem, by the way, you'll notice as we go through the next few psukim, that we refer to the Torah of God, the Edus of God, the Pikudim of God, the Mitzvos of God, the Yiras Hashem of God, the Mishpatei Hashem. So of all the various words that mean Torah or Mitzvos, we've got them all but Chukim. It doesn't speak here of Chukim. And Radak draws our attention to the fact that it doesn't mention Chukim, and it gives a perfect reason for it. Because everything here is described as being pleasant and beautiful and wonderful and enlightening. Chukim are not. Chukim, like why we can't eat pig and why we can't wear shatnez, etc., because most people don't know the reasons for these things. The reasons are not known. Ech yomar aleihem nechmodim umisukim utahorim. How can we refer to them as being delicious and sweet, etc.? We don't understand them. Ein ta'amom nira l'rov b'nei adam. Most people simply don't know what chukim, why there are chukim. So therefore, chukim are not mentioned here. But the pasuk goes on, pasuk tests to say, Pikudei Hashem yishorim misamchei lev. The laws of God are straight and they make people happy. Mitzvas Hashem boro meiras einoyim. And the mitzvos of God are clear, they enlighten one's eyes. So Torah has numerous qualities. It makes the foolish people wise. And here we see, and we see it with our own eyes, that sometimes we have people, young people, who are, as far as the IQ tests are concerned, are limited in their intelligence. But somehow, by studying Torah, their intelligence grows. I remember long ago, when I was studying in the yeshiva in Lakewood, there was a man there who was visiting from Eretz Yisrael. And people pointed to him and said that this fellow was quite limited, almost retarded as a young man, and was frustrated. And he went to visit the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish told him, study Torah slowly, carefully, you will grow in your intelligence. And here he was indeed, at this point in his life that I saw him, a Talmud Chacham. And similarly, Torah is Misamchei Lev. Torah makes a person joyful. As Radak says, the power of overcoming one's lusts, of controlling oneself, of self-discipline, Ein simcha ba'olam kasimcha hahi. There is no greater joy than learning to discipline oneself, to be in control of oneself. And the Torah is enlightening. It lightens the eyes. As Radak says, without Torah, you're walking in the dark. Yiras Hashem tohora. The fear of God is pure. Radak says fear of God means keeping things which people don't see, people don't know about. Fearing God in private, that's the siman of Yiras Hashem. That's the sign of Yiras Hashem. And that's tahora, that's pure. There's no other motives there, because you're only refraining from doing these things because your conscience tells you not to, God tells you not to. It's not because someone else is looking and you're going to get punished, or someone else is looking and you're going to get rewarded. Omed es la'ad. The Yiras Hashem is always, always. Radak says Yiras Hashem is forever, because these mitzvos, which we're told never to do even in private, these generally are mitzvos which have no time. It's not only the first night of Sukkot that you have to do this mitzvah, or Yom Kippur or Hanukkah when you have to do this mitzvah. Quite the contrary. The mitzvos which are mitzvos of conscience have no fixed time and place. They have no makom uzman, and therefore, in that sense, they are omed es lo'ad. Mishpitei Hashem emes, the statutes of God are true, tzodku yachdov. Radak has, in the name of Yesh Meforshim, he doesn't say whom, a beautiful contrast between the sun and the Torah. Whereas the sun obviously has so many benefits, light and heat, etc., but there's a downside. There's an aspect of the sun's heat and light which is negative. However, the Torah of Hashem is not negative. And these Yesh Meforshim say as follows. Yesh devorim shehashemesh mazik v'hatorah mo'ila b'chol ha-devorim. There are some things which the sun harms, but Torah is of benefit always. That's the meaning of Torah Hashem, tamima. It's perfect. There's no blemish in Torah. No one ever had any negative consequences from studying Torah. Whereas the sun, if you sit too long in the heat of the sun, you can get quite ill. Indeed, Yonah, vatach Hashemesh al rosh Yonah vayisalof. The sun struck Yonah and he got some type of sunstroke. The heat of the sun can be quite dangerous. Torah, however, is always mishivas nofesh. And the sun, sometimes because of sunstroke, people become mad. You're exposed to the sun, you can actually become insane. Not the Torah. Study Torah, quite the contrary. Machkimas pesi. It makes the dumb smart. It makes the dumb intelligent. When a person sits too long in the sun, he comes to be worried. Oh, maybe I got a sunburn. Maybe I hurt myself. Becomes anxious. As opposed to Pekudei Hashem, Misamchei Lev. They only bring joy, never anxiety. The sun, if you look straight with your eyes at the sun, you can become blinded. Not the Torah. It's Me'iras Einoyim. It makes your vision all that much better. The sun sometimes is covered by clouds and can't do its thing as well. However, the fear of God is tahora. It is pure. It's constant. It's omed es la'ad. It's perfectly reliable. And unlike the sun, which is stronger at one time of the day and absent and during the night, etc., the Torah is omed es la'ad. It's there all the time. So the contrast is here between the perfect ways of the Torah, which are always productive and constructive and healing and helpful, to the ways of the sun, which obviously is extremely important, but has its negatives as well, and one has to be careful about how one uses it. I want to mention that Radak, in the uncensored versions which are today available, almost in every perek so far, has something to say against the Christian interpretations and Christian theology. And here on the words, Yiras Hashem Tahora Omedes La'ad, the fear of God is pure, it is forever, Radak says, because the Torah is forever. And this is against what Yeshu HaNotzri taught, what Jesus the Nazarite taught, because he taught that the Torah is something spiritual, symbolic. It's not literal. It's not forever. It's limited in time. It doesn't mean exactly what it says, etc. And the Radak goes off on a long but important tangent, refuting this approach and saying, no, Yiras Hashem Tahora, Omed es Lo'ad, Tzadku Yachtov, etc., the version of Torah that Radak believed in and that we followed, and not the interpretation, the symbolic spiritualizing of the Torah and limiting of the duration of the Torah that is part of the teachings of Christianity. And the Torah is Nechemode Mizov Mipazrav. It is sweeter than money, than gold. It is sweeter than honey, and nofes tzufim is also a word meaning honey. Literally, it means the drippings of the honeycomb. And here, too, we have this interesting contrast. Honey is wonderful, it's delicious, but eat a lot of it, and frankly, you begin to feel sick to your stomach. You begin to feel nauseated. Not so chokhma. The more you have, the better it is for you. As Radak puts it, but chokhma, ki kol ma she yosif bo, the more chokhma, tohi lenu, the more benefit. V'sovi loli olam. Unlike honey and vash and nofes tzufim. Then David gets a bit personal and says to God, Gam avdecho nizhor bohem, your servant also, even your servant who is not a chacham, nevertheless he's careful about your laws, your Torah, because bishomram ekev rav, by keeping them there is great reward. And Radak points out that reward here is called Ekev, because Ekev is the bottom, the end, and often all along the road there is no obvious reward. The reward is waiting at the end of the journey. Ekev Rov. Now David begins to say, God, no one's perfect. And certainly people make mistakes. And people stumble because they just don't know. They stumble out of error. They stumble out of ignorance. So therefore, shigios miyovin, God, who can be aware of errors? Who can be perfectly so alert and so conscious that he never makes mistakes? I mean, his Torah is not keni, and therefore, clear me, hold me clean of any hidden guilt, of guilt over hidden matters. So David here is praying, God, help me that I not that I not make mistakes. Ainot, in the words of Radak, ain adam sheyeda v'yovin hakol. There's no one who knows everything, and therefore, lo ta'ani sheni al hanistoros. Cleanse me, hold me innocent from mistakes. And then we move on from mistakes and ignorance to purposeful sins. Gam mizedim chasoch avdecho. God, protect me from intentional sins. Help me. Help me not sin in an intentional way. Al yim shaluvi. Let not intentions, evil intentions, dominate me.
Ki oz esam, then I will be perfect, blameless. V'nikesi mipesha rov, and I will be clear of any grave offense. Now here we have an interesting thing. David is praying to God that God should help him not only not make mistakes, but even that God should help him from intentional sin. Is that possible, to have God be your ally against sinning? After all, hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. One would think that when it comes to not sinning, buddy, that's your problem. That's you've got to have the self-control. What do you mean praying to God, God help me not sin? But Radak picks up on this and says we have precedent aplenty for people in Tanakh praying to God, God, help me not sin. God says, I have prevented you from sinning to me. Bereshis Perek Chof Pasuk Vov. Moving from Zedim, which is intentional sin, David also says, I want to be clean or innocent from Pesha Rav. And, as Radak puts it, Pesha is even worse than Mizedim. Zedim is intentional sin. Pesha is rebellious sin. There's a slippery slope here. Mistakes, ignorance, lead to intentional sin. An intentional sin can eventually lead to mered, to rebellion, to spiteful sin. David says, I don't want to go down that slope. So therefore, God, protect me every step of the way. Mishkios miyovin, mizedim, chasoch avdecha, and v'nikesi mipesharov. And finally, David concludes Perek Yutes with a very famous posuk. We append it to the end of every Shemona Esrei that we say. Some say it out loud at the end of Shemona Esrei. Yihiyu l'rotzon imrefi. May the words of my mouth be desired by you. V'hegyon libi lifonecha. God, put the thoughts of my heart, my unexpressed prayers, before you. Hashem tzuri v'goali. God, you are my rock and my redeemer. Because, as Radak says, so much of ourselves can simply not put into words what our prayers are. And therefore, at the end of our prayers, and in this case, at the end of this prayer of David, chapter 19, David says, Hegyonli bilifonecha, even my thoughts, which are barely perceptible to me, God, please hear them. Words of Radak. Devorim rabim yachshov adam belibo, velo yochin ledaber bisvasav. There are many things that a man thinks, but is not yet prepared to express with his lips. And we ask God, even those hidden parts of my heart that I myself may only be dimly aware of, may they be before you. Hekyon libi lifonecha. The thoughts of my heart, the contemplations of my heart, may they be before you as well. And so we come to the end of Kapitel Yutes of chapter 19.